My name is Aronde Wilkes, and I'm 14. Jesse Amos and I interviewed Ms. Mary Wolber on October 22nd, 2008.
Where was I born?
Yes.
Right here. North Side. Where else? And see, everybody spoke German. My parents spoke German. In school, you spoke German. The ones that went to the public schools spoke English. Mother sent me to kindergarten when I was 3 years old, so she'd know where I was for a while anyhow. I mean, it was a tight little community. Everybody knew everybody. Troy Hill is only 600 yards wide, and it's only 1.010 long. There's no through streets. Every street's a dead end. And we would always say, if anybody came to visit and they started something, like when I got in high school, the thing to do in those days was to crash a party. And if you'd crash a party or something like that, we'd say, all right, we'll come down and we'll put up the chain on the top of the hill. Because we really were very exclusive. It was terrible. An Irish family moved in. Oh, my God. We didn't know whether we could undertake it or not. That was a shock that there was other people besides us. Now, see, on account of being Mrs. Bruckner's daughter, I was known all over Troy Hill because I would deliver things for Mother. Like if she had papers for the orphanage, I'd go up to the orphanage and, you know, get them filled out up there and bring them back for Mother to sign them. So everybody would say, oh, that's all right. It's Mrs. Bruckner's daughter. Because if I wasn't Mrs. Bruckner's daughter, I'd get beat up. I'd get beat up if I went around the corner because there were two Protestant girls there. They didn't like me. And I was always skinny and little. They'd beat me up. Sometimes I'd win out. Yeah, I was pretty tough. I had a beer, I wouldn't have existed. Go to Boggs and Buell's was top drawer. It was the only department store on North Side. There was no cash registers even. No cash registers. That was amazing. That they put them in little cylinders and they put them up above their heads in a track. And then they pushed something and shoom, it disappeared. We never knew where it went or how it went, anything. And then first you know it would come back and stop right where it started. And then it would have your receipt in there, your change, everything. And that was going around all the time, all through the store. And when you got a pair of gloves, you put your hand up like this. And the other lady was on the other side. And she took every finger, and she put your gloves on. And then she'd go like this. Oh, I loved that. I might not even need gloves, but I'd always get a pair. But everything was done so well. Their horses, when they delivered anything, you know, were the shiniest, cleanest. They didn't drop their business on the street. They had little bags. And then when they got back to the store, they would change the, just like changing a diaper on a baby. Well, they asked me. I'm telling them how it was. When we got married, it was right in the middle of the Depression. Alan, he was an engineer, and of course he was out of work. Then he got a job with Fort Pitt Bridge Works. They were fabricators for bridges and stuff. This was in 1936, because we got married in February 1937. We took a vow on our wedding day that we would never have anything in our house that wasn't ours, because we saw our friends lose everything they had. In those days, all your fruits and vegetables were in wooden crates. We went to visit them. They put two wooden crates together and made a table. They had wooden art flat on the floor where they put a cushion we could sit down. They had a candle. Everything was gone, everything, because they owed it. It wasn't theirs. To this day, we paid cash for our house. We paid cash for our cars. We paid cash for our babies. We paid cash for everything. And if you didn't have the money, you didn't get it. Now, do you know how I did it? With my husband's consent, I ruled the house. My husband never wrote a check. Whatever Alan would get a raise, we would just ignore it. That was put aside. Because the babies were little, they didn't know that they didn't have anything. They were fed well, they were kept warm. All our children went to colleges, PhDs. I have 13 great-grandchildren. I have 9 grandchildren and 3 of my children. They all have advanced college degrees, and every one of them is paid for. My children were taught the same as we did. On Troy Hill, a sort of an enclave of Germans, there were 3 groups up there. The German Catholics, the German Protestants, and Bohemians. Then we had a Chinese laundry. We had a little group of about 4 people from Finland. It was a real super mix. It was very interesting. On account of my mother being in business, I led a much different life than most of the children on Troy Hill. Because it was so unusual for a woman to have an office, and I was an only child for about 9 years. So a lot of the neighbors did not want their children to play with me. So I started to play with the Protestants, and we did just fine. Then we bought a car, and most people didn't have a car at that time. And my mother had a cleaning woman, a chauffeur, and a cook. So I was sort of lost in between, and mother was in the office. Daddy worked for the Pennsylvania Railroad in the 28th Street yards. I was his girl. He would come home. I'd have pork chops for breakfast, mashed potatoes, sweet potatoes, because he worked all night. Oh, it was great. And I'd wait for Daddy to come home and eat breakfast with him. I was a lucky child. Now, there was only one thing I was not allowed to do, and that was to keep the cook waiting for dinner in the evening. That was a no-no. If I didn't like what was out for dinner, I'd say to Mother and Daddy, I think I'll go up and see Grandma. And I would go up and eat with Grandma. And my mother would get very upset. She didn't like that at all. But I like Grandma greasy food. So I am sitting here as a relic of grease, 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 and I'm fine. I don't have high blood pressure. I don't have heart, nothing. Grandma used to make spätzle. It's a doughy thing. They fried it in bacon grease. And Grandma had a little 3-legged stool that she brought over from Germany. It's a milking stool. And I'd be sitting down on the stool, just waiting. Then Grandma would look at me and she'd say, are you ready, Mary? And I'd say, oh, yes. And she'd put it on a piece of newspaper and she'd give it down to me. And I'd eat the spätzle. I won a gold medal in the National Senior Olympics. There was 12,000 of us, and I'm the only one that won a gold medal in Pittsburgh. I was only 89 then. I got shoe boxes of medals. Swimming, javelin, shot put, discus, long jump. There must be something else. Oh, no, I did not do horseshoes. Because the first time I tried horseshoes, I hit somebody, and I wasn't going to take a chance. Leave it to me to hit somebody. Wasn't my fault. That's why I didn't do golf either, I went like this, and the guy was back of me, and I hit him. Huh? I was good at hitting. Remember now, this was bad times. Nobody had money. So he would come up, and he'd ring the bell, and I'd come down. I'd have 15 cents, and he'd have 15 cents. And we would start walking down Troy Hill Road. Now, you know how long that is. And we would walk all the way up East Ohio Street. You met the whole world. The whole world was walking. And you met everybody you knew. And when we got to the Republic Restaurant, which was on the corner of Sandusky and East Ohio Street, it was run by two Greek brothers. In fact, we invited them to our wedding because he always gave us a free cookie. So anyhow, we would bring out our 15 cents. I wouldn't give it to Alan, and he wouldn't give it to me either. I'd have left him. We would get for that one cup of coffee, and you'd get two spice cookies wrapped with a hole in the middle and with white icing on the top. Hey, that was good eating. We got two of those cookies and a cup of coffee for 15 cents. Or you could get a whole dinner for 35 cents. Of course, you had no choice, but you got a whole dinner for 35 cents.